Chapter 21. In one way, the city of Orbit was blessed. One of the best cutters in southern Illinois headed up the surgical staff of the Hickman County Hospital. The hospital stood set back on the west end of Orbit. It was a four-story structure, red brick with white porticos, and an emergency room entrance around back with an entryway off Madison Street and a large lot carved from the yards of the two houses that had been raised to make room. This was where the EMTs brought Thaddeus. They had applied a tourniquet and pressure at the scene, had inserted a trachea tube, and had him hooked up to a heart monitor while the ambulance raced to the hospital. It all happened so fast that the kid on the skateboard had barely made the 911 call, and the ambulance could be heard in the distance. The two skateboarders had crept closer to the downed man, wondering if they could help and wondering what a dying guy really looked like. They had seen enough by the time the EMTs came racing up the short walk. "Scram, guys!" they shouted, and unfolded a transporter and lifted Thaddeus's limp body onto the table. They quickly rolled it up the walk and back inside the flashing van. Two EMTs jumped in with the shooting victim. The third drove. It was the left leg. They tied it off and managed the loss of blood best they could. They were only blocks from the hospital, and that's probably what saved the young lawyer's life. The general surgeon who repaired and sutured together the femoral artery was Skip Russett, a graduate of Johns Hopkins who had done 4 years of surgical residency at Chicago's busiest Southside hospitals. Gunshots were a walkthrough for Dr. Russett. He had repaired literally thousands of them by the time he moved his small family out of the city, downstate, where they would have more of a chance at a decent life and small-town habits and manners. The schools might not be as good as the parochial schools around the north side of Chicago, but by the time they were in high school, too many of the kids were lost to drive-bys, drugs, and alcoholism, and unwanted pregnancies anyway, so it was a good trade to come south. He began life-saving procedures on Thaddeus by getting an anesthesiologist on board in the operating room, staffed with his usual OR nurse and surgical techs. They switched on the music the doc preferred, REO Speedwagon, and began clamping, irrigating, suturing, testing, and closing. Then the orthopedic surgeon bellied up to the table for his turn. He was a massive ape of a man and had no difficulty wrestling arms and legs into the weird positions favored by orthopedists in the operating room. The high-velocity bullet had shattered the left thigh bone at the neck, and a steel rod had to be inserted, plated, and screwed in place. The entire surgery took nearly 4 hours, but Thaddeus held up well, which the doctors later attributed, at least in part, to his youth and to his excellent aerobic conditioning. He would remain in the hospital a week and then be released in a wheelchair with orders for physical therapy and home health care. He awoke that first night just after 7. The morphine kept closing his eyes. As the room swam into focus, he had to blink several times, trying to understand what he was seeing. Eileen Creighton? In his room? He turned away and the nurse explained what had happened. She explained the shooting incident. She explained the surgery. She explained how Dr. Creighton's wife had insisted on being there when he woke up. He turned his head back. She smiled that incredible smile. She touched his hand. "Welcome back."
"The city police are standing right outside your door," the nurse reassured him. "They will be there 24/7 until your release. Orders of the district attorney."
He reached for Eileen's hand, found he couldn't move his own, and fell back into a deep sleep. He woke at 4 a.m., leg throbbing, and they replenished the morphine drip. He then drifted away again. By the time he awoke, she was gone. He wondered if he had been dreaming, so he asked the nurse.
"No, she stayed with you until midnight, then left."
"Oh.
But she said she'd be back later today."
"Oh.
It's nice to have visitors when we're not feeling well."
"Yes.
Do you want to try to sit up?"
"Yes. Do you have a mirror?"
"Oh my, we're going to be fussy now?"
"Yes."
There had been no witnesses, and the police had no clues. There was a gun plus two gloves found at the scene. They had been turned over to the crime lab, but so far no reports were available. The AG didn't put a hurry up on this workup, so everyone was in the dark. DA Quentin Irwin was on the 10 o'clock news, swearing that the FBI was in on the hunt for the shooter, and he had no doubt that they would be found and charged and prosecuted for attempted murder. They would leave no stone unturned, he promised. Yes, the victim was a lawyer, and yes, Thaddeus was defending a young woman accused of homicide. No apparent connection between the two shootings. Not so far, anyway.